Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to join our call today. Our call is going over the CAT customer and account information system, and in particular, the large trader identifier onboarding overview. My name is Paul McKinney with Finner CAT, and with me today are Shelley Bolin and Katie Madison from Finner CAT, Ron Jordan, Jonathan Allen, and Mark Manis from Kingland. And then others from the Finner CAT team that'll be here to help answer any questions. As always, we are recording this presentation, and the recording and the presentation will be up on the catnmsplan.com website by COB tomorrow. So moving to the next slide. Our agenda here is to kind of walk you through the CAT case onboarding steps. So we'll be talking to you about the registration process, the CAT case entitlement, connectivity, CAT case reporting relationships, the testing, production readiness testing in the testing environment, as well as certification. We'll walk through some dates in the timeline, and then also provide you with some additional resources before answering any questions that you might have. So the first step in our onboarding process is going to be to register for CAT case. And you know, people that have been following CAT or been involved with CAT are gonna find a lot of these steps model what was done for the CAT transaction reporting. We're really following similar steps. So the first thing we're going to do is open a registration. The next thing that people will need to do is to designate a super account administrator or a CAT case account administrator if they are new organizations and have not yet established them for CAT. They'll then need to create and entitle CAT user accounts for CAT case reporter portal. Firms that are going to be transmitting via SFTP will need to request CAT case secure file transfer accounts. Anybody that's going to have another entity report CAT case data on their behalf will need to establish reporting relationships in the reporter portal to enable them to report the case data. Then they'll need to conduct testing to ensure that they're ready to submit to the production environment, and then also certify that they are able to complete the testing with limited errors. So moving on to the next slide, the first step in this process is going to be, as I said, the CAT registration. So all industry members or CAT reporting agents that are going to be submitting case information are going to need to file a registration form. We are going to open that registration on August 17th, and we are in the process of establishing a dedicated CAT case onboarding page that will be on the catnmsplan.com website under the guidance tab. It'll be essentially a sub tab to the existing onboarding page. And then we have established the CAT registration deadline for October 5th. So we are looking to get everybody in and registered by October 5th. So moving to the next slide, this slide really walks through the entitlement process. Much like the existing CAT transaction system, we are leveraging the Finner Entitlement Program that includes the role of the super account administrator for industry members. And then for CAT reporting agents or service providers that are not members of one of the plan participants, they would have an account administrator role. So once we get the registration in and we have the submission and the verification of a CAT, once we get the registration form in, the SAA or the account administrator will then be given the ability to start granting access to their users. And then they could also grant the SAA may grant the ability for other account administrators to manage user access to CASE. So again, it follows the sort of standard FINRA and FINRA/CAT entitlement program. So moving to the next slide, once we get the, so the first thing is to establish your super account administrator. If you have an existing SAA, they will be granted administrative access to manage CatK's access for their users. Those firms that do not have an existing SAA are going to need to request one via a new organization SAA entitlement form. But those firms that already have the SAA established will just find, you know, that they have the ability to grant additional access for K's users. Once the SAAs are granted access, they will receive an email and they'll be able to start creating those accounts and grant user access beginning on August 21st of 2020. And then if anybody needs to replace an existing SAA, that can be done by contacting the FINRA/CAT help desk and we'll get you a new update or replace SAA form. So for CAT reporting agents, the role of the account administrators, this is for the, again, those that are not members of a plan participant. They would need to dedicate a CAT account administrator by submitting the CAT account administrator entitlement form. And again, they'll receive an email once the account is created and we'll give them the credentials for the CAT administrator access. And they too can begin creating and entitling users beginning on August 21st of 2020. And then the same process, if they need to establish a new account administrator, they would need to submit the CAT account administrator entitlement form. And they can do that via the FINRA/CAT help desk. So moving on to the reporter portal and the user types that are going to be available. Essentially, there are two user types, the K's reporter user, and you know this allows the user to you know create and view and transmit the K's records, upload files, view statuses, view and repair errors, and view submission statistics. And then there's also a read-only user role that allows the user to view status files, as well as submission statistics and errors. So as we said, the SAAs and the account administrators will be able to create and entitle those users in the portal beginning on August, or for the portal beginning on August 21st, 2020. And again, as we're running down through the roles, the account administrator has the highest level of access. They can create, edit, disable, and delete CAT user or CAT K's user and read-only accounts. They have the ability to upload data files, create and view and transmit data via the reporter portal, view and repair errors. They can create, view, and edit the reporting relationships if necessary, and view and export any feedback that comes to them back to the firm. The CAT K's user does not have any administrative functions, but they can upload the data files. They can create, view, and transmit data via the portal, view and repair their errors, create and view and edit reporting relationships, and view and export the feedback. They just cannot establish others or grant others access to the system. Then the CAT K's read-only user, again, can view feedback, including the summaries and statistics, view errors, and view reporting relationships, but the read-only user does not have the ability to create those relationships. So this slide here is basically a screenshot of the entitlement program and shows you, or the entitlement platform, and shows you the different privileges that would be available. You can see here in the middle is what's currently out there for the CAT Reporter portal. And there on the bottom, you'll see the addition of the K's Reporter and the different roles that people would have access to. So this next slide, we talk about the secure file transfer accounts. So firms are going to be able to submit via machine-to-machine connections, but they do have to establish a CAT-K's secure file transfer protocol account. And you would get this account, first you have to have the SAA or CAT-AA designated. Then you would need to complete the CAT-CAES SFTP form. And again, that'll be available on the catnmsplan.com website on the onboarding site. And then we'll send the credentials to the account owner once that account is created. Now, this is an important point here, is that the existing FINRA or FINRA/CAT SFTP accounts cannot be leveraged to submit data to CAT-CAES. So you will need to establish a new SFTP account to submit data to the CAT-CAES system via machine-to-machine. And then the connectivity to CAES will be provided by, you know, the same three options that are provided for the CAT transaction system. Firms may leverage their existing connectivity. They do not need to establish new lines to get into CAES, so that's an important part. You need to establish a new SFTP account, but you do not need to establish a new connection or a new connectivity line. However, firms may require additional firewall configuration settings for the private line or AWS private link options. And firms would call the FINRA/CAT help desk to get assistance in getting that step completed. So moving to the next slide, this is the CAT-CAES reporting relationships in the test environment. So again, any firm that is going to have another entity, be it another broker-dealer or a service bureau that's going to, or you know, perhaps it's their clearing firm, that's going to submit data, CAT-CAES data on their behalf, they are going to need to establish the CAT-CAES reporting relationships. And they would need to establish that in the test environment. They can be established or have to be established prior to any submissions that come into the CAT-CAES reporter portal. And firms can start establishing those relationships as early as August 24th, 2020, provided that they have registered and received their entitlement. Just like the CAT transaction system, firms that are transmitting data on their own behalf do not need to establish a relationship for themselves. They will automatically have the ability to report CAES data on their own behalf. So this next slide focuses on testing for production readiness. So again, our objective is to ensure that firms, you know, once we do go live and go into production, that firms have the ability to submit data to us into that system with limited errors. Test environment will be open as of August 24th of 2020, and firms can start testing as of that point. It has to be completed. All testing must be completed prior to submitting LTID data into the production environment. We will not grant you the access to the production environment until you have gotten through the testing process. We're currently developing the production readiness certification requirements, but you can rest assured that they will focus on entitlements, the file submissions, data integrity validations, and as we get through developing these certification requirements, they too will be published out on the onboarding page, the CAT-CAES onboarding page, in the CAT-CAES onboarding document, which will be published on that page. And the certification process is going to start in mid-November of 2020. So there'll be a time there starting in August where firms can start, you know, submitting the data into the test environment and gearing up and getting their systems ready for the certification process that'll start in mid-November of 2020. So how the certification process will work is also very similar to the certification process in the CAT transaction system. Firms will need to complete all of their onboarding steps, and then they're going to need to contact the FINRA/CAT help desk to obtain that certification. The help desk is going to require the reporting date that the organization is using for its certification test. They'll then, you know, monitor and evaluate the submission to ensure that it does meet the requirements. And then once we verify that they've met those requirements, the firm or the service bureau would be granted access to the production environment. So we are also looking to port over CAT-CASE reporting relationships that are established in the test environment, and we would move them over to the production environment. We will have a deadline that those reporting relationships are going to have to be established by in order to be ported over, and that will be communicated further as we determine that date. We will put that in the onboarding guide as well. So the next thing that we wanted to walk you through are some important dates and the timeline and how this is all going to work. And I think I've mentioned most of these dates, but I think it's important to reiterate that the registration is going to open on the 17th of August. We will be sending out an email. We'll send it out to all of our subscription notices, letting firms know that the registration is open. We will be publishing the CAT-CASE onboarding guide also on the 17th. At that time, we'll also be publishing the CAT-CASE Reporter Portal user guide. So this is a step-by-step guide to the CAT-CASE Reporter Portal that will walk firms and users through the different steps and the different functionality of the portal. The entitlement process will start on the 21st of August. And then we'll be opening, as I said, the test environment on August 24th of 2020. The certification process will begin in mid-November of 2020, and then the production environment will open mid-December of 2020, that firms can start submitting data into the production environment. And then the mandatory LTID reporting date would then start on April 26th of 2021. So there is considerable ramp up time for firms to get their testing and get their systems established before that mandatory date starts on April 26th of 2021. So again, just to recap, your order of operations and the steps that you need to follow to get onboarded for the CAT-CASE system, you're going to need to register. You're going to need to designate your SAA or CAT account administrators if you do not already have one. If you do already have one, then you would be creating your additional CAT-CASE users, getting them access to the reporter portal. If you're going to be submitting via SFTP, you do need to submit that new SFTP entitlement form. Your existing SFTP account will not be used to submit to CAT-CASE. You do need to establish that new account to submit to the CASE system. You want to test your connectivity, get any reporting relationships established that you might need. Then you want to start your testing, get your testing production readiness testing going, ensuring that you're meeting the coding requirements, passing the validations, you're able to submit your files, your reporting relationships are established. Those are all things that you want to be looking at and testing. And then finally, you would need to pass that certification requirement and then get access to the production environment. So moving to the next slide, we did want to inform you about some additional CASE LTID events that are upcoming. We are going to be hosting a series of weekly industry testing checkpoint calls for the CASE system. Those will commence on August 26th, and they will be held every Wednesday at 4:15. And the first checkpoint that we're going to hold on that day, we don't expect to see too much data coming into the system at that point, but we will be doing an overview of the CASE Reporter Portal functionality and a walkthrough of the Reporter Portal so everybody can get a good sense of what that functionality is and how to use it. And then before we open it up to questions, we just wanted to leave you with some additional resources. Hopefully people are aware that the CAES technical specifications and scenarios documents are both located on the catnmsplan.com website. They are under the technical specifications tab, and you'll see a subsection that's dedicated to CAES. I think people have a good sense of the technical specifications. They know they're there, but we do want to encourage firms to look at the scenarios document as well. We think it's a very helpful document that firms can use to help them through this process and to help them understand what needs to be reported and how for different business scenarios. And then, there's also a section of the FAQs that are dedicated to CAES, and that is section Q. So if you go to the catnmsplan.com website, go under guidance, and section Q will focus on the CAT CAES reporting. So that is an overview of the onboarding process. And again, I just want to stress that we are going to have the onboarding guide published as well as the registration form published on the 17th of August. And we will be notifying firms via email once all that information is posted. So that is really the kickoff of this whole process. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and open the line to questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question and you're connected via your computer's audio, click the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And if you're connected via your phone's audio, enter *9 on your phone's keypad and I will unmute you. Our first question comes from caller ended in 9349. You can ask your question. You're unmuted.
Yeah, hi. This is Ashish from E-Trade. Just a quick question. I see the LTID certification phase begins somewhere in mid-November. Is there a target deadline for that too? How long will the phase be open for certification?
Yeah, so the certification will, we will be looking to put a deadline on the certification timeframe, but we do want to provide ample time for firms to get the certification in. The production environment will be open in mid-December, but again, the mandatory requirement is not until April. So there should be adequate time to pass that certification.
Right. So this is Ron Jordan. So as Paul mentioned, on April 26th of 2021, any CAT reportable event that has an LTID established with the account, that account needs to be in CAES. So as Paul mentioned, so beginning sometime in mid-November, you can start to certify so that once it is mandatory to be in production by April 26th and have all of your data in CAES that you're going to be reporting, it is really up to the firm as to what their time schedule should be between mid-November and April. But you would need to be certified to be put into production and get your information into the production environment before the April 26th of 2021 if you're going to have CAT reportable events.
Right, and it will still require production quality data, just to clarify, same as 2A and 2B, right? We use production data, so even for this certification, we'll need to submit production data?
Yes, that's correct. This is Shelley, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our second question comes from caller number ending in 7748. Go ahead and ask your question, you're unmuted.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Pradeep from Barclays. So just have a quick question. So in a scenario where the industry members from desk or principal trading desk, they book an order which breaches the daily limit, say greater than 2 million shares. So is the industry member required to self-report the LTID?
So this is Shelley. Are you asking, can you repeat your question one more time?
Yeah, sure. So, for example, if there is a industry member and who's trading desk, right? They book orders on a principal or proprietary capacity, and if they breach that daily limit of 2 million shares, for example, then at the end of the day, as a part of the LTID report, does that industry member submit a record that their LTID has breached this limit, and here are the details of the FTID, LTID, extra. It's like kind of self-reporting when an industry member's proprietary desk breaches that limit.
So in this particular forum about reporting LTIDs to CAT, we're not getting into the requirements of when an LTID would have to be established or any of the requirements or about when an LTID needs to be obtained. So this would be from a CAT perspective, assuming an account has reached the limits or has to obtain, someone on that account has to obtain the LTID, and then there's a CAT reportable event in it, then it has to be reported to CAES, that account, as soon as there's a CAT reportable transaction in it. So I hope I understood your question correctly, if it was more about whether you need to obtain the LTID, which would be under SEC rules, versus when you have to report an account that has an LTID to CAES. Okay. And I apologize if I've misunderstood your question.
No worries. Thank you for that.
Our next caller ended in 1719. You're unmuted.
Hi, yes, this is Pulkit from Barclays also. This is probably a dumb question, but still need to clarify. What is the exact difference between the test environment opening up and then the production environment opening up? What are the expectations in terms of what kind of data we as reporters need to submit in both those environments?
Yes. So the environments are the test environment is really dedicated to firms testing their systems and making sure that that they're coding properly, that they're meeting the validations. Then we did this for the transaction system as well. We are opening the production data, the production environment early to give firms the opportunity to really get familiar and comfortable with that and to start submitting data into that environment as well. Obviously the test environment is going to be open first, and you're going to need to stabilize your code and meet the certification requirements before you're able to start submitting into the production environment.
And I would also just add to that, I mean, this is obviously very different than the transaction reporting system, where every day, except maybe with GTC orders, is new day, you're coming in with all your trades for the day. In the CAES system, this is account information. So you're establishing an account, you're setting it up, it stays there unless there's a change to it. So an LT gets added, LTID gets removed, it gets closed, etc. So the test environment lets you could put test data in there, you can put production accounts in there, but it's there for you to test, versus once you go to the production environment and you establish your accounts there, they are in that environment then for going forward all of time, right? So here's an account that's real, it's live, it's in product, yeah, I'm giving it in the production environment. So now if I add an LT, I have to add, make the delta change on it. If the account closes, I have to close it out. I have to keep the production environment that this is my active account list where LTIDs are associated with it. And if something changes, I've got to change it in production, where test, it doesn't matter. You're not having to maintain it. You're not having to update it. It lets you play with it and to see and make sure you could do that. But once you put, once you populate the stuff in production, it's there and you're going to have to maintain it into the future. So I would say that's one different, once you, before you put something in production in this environment, you need to make sure it is exactly correct. They're real live accounts because you're going to have to live with them moving into the future. Hopefully that helps. And I invite Ron or anybody else who wants to jump in on that, but it's different from the transaction environment in that way.
And let me just add to what Shelley said. And the reason we think it's so important to open the production environment up several months early, even though, again, as soon as you establish accounts in that environment, they are real and they have to be maintained, is because it, again, as because this is reference data, we believe it gives reporters options that if they have a lot of accounts to report, they can report over time. So they can report, you know, 100 today and 100 tomorrow or however many they want, because again, those will stay in the database in the production, but all, you know, what it allows you to do is ramp up that database of yours prior to the April 26th, 2021. So you don't have to do a big bang the day before, because again, this is different, it's reference data. So it allows you to put data into production slowly between December and April. And we think that's important.
Got it. Thank you. That's helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Denise Steffel. Denise, you're unmuted.
Can you guys hear me?
Nope. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me still? Just want to make sure I'm unmuted.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Okay. It kept popping up that I was muted.
You're loud and clear.
Sorry, thank you. I missed the very beginning. So on the registration, is there, similar to what we did for the first go live, is there going to be an agreement that needs to be signed by all industry members? Or is it just merely you're going into the gateway and registering? Or I'm a little bit confused by that.
So if you already have a CAT reporter agreement signed, it will cover this. There's not a separate one for this.
Okay, perfect. So there's not, so when we say registration, what does that exactly mean?
So that's basically a mechanism for the processor to understand who all is going to be coming into CASE, and that everyone who has an obligation, we can start tracking and making sure they're coming in and just help us manage the whole onboarding process.
Okay. Was there, and I don't know if you can still do this because I know this is coming out on the 17th, but was there any consideration with porting the information over, since it is all going to be driven by access through the gateway and who through the SSA, versus having to go back and re-register everybody and getting everybody to, you know, list submitters? Was there any consideration, or could that be considered? It's just a kind of burdensome now for the firms to have to go back and redo kind of a process that we did, you know, post go live with transactional data. And plus we've got a lot of phases coming up, right? So just wondering if there was any consideration, or could there be consideration of porting some of that over?
So others jump in on the ThinnerCAT Kingland side, but I think we were not 100% certain that the same universe of firms would be here and with the same submitters, or if it would be a different, you might have different submitters than you would in the transaction data, or if the landscape would be exactly the same, and if we could in fact do something like that. Anyone else from the...
That's correct, Shelley.
Okay. So, I mean, if that, so we could certainly take it back for consideration if it's, you know, if that would be appropriate, or you, the same landscape is going to be here that is in the transaction data.
Yeah, I would love for you guys to take that back and maybe consider that, because I, you know, there's two sides of it, I guess, as a reporter and a submitter, and if you're a clearing firm, obviously you would usually, you know, custody all the accounts and therefore be responsible for maintaining those. So I think that there might be some benefit to some of the larger firms, especially the clearing ones. So if that could be considered, that'd be great. And that's all I have.
And it would be helpful for us too, if there's any information or feedback on whether a particular firm may give their submitter permission for transaction, but would not want to give their submitter permission for case and things like that.
Yeah, I could, I don't know if I could be helpful in that, but I could definitely reach out to our folks and just ask the questions if there would be a reason why they wouldn't want us to be listed, but
okay,
definitely could help with that, sure.
Yeah, any and all information we could get would be great, and we'll definitely take it under consideration.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mohammed Panju. Mohammed, you're unmuted.
Hi, thanks. So this is a question about sourcing LTIDs. I'm just wondering, is there a database or repository that industry members can access to look up LTIDs for their clients?
So this is not that we're aware of. The LTIDs are issued by the SEC. So these aren't, there's not a list, you know, obviously that FINRA CAP would have as the plan processor. I don't think there's anything out there, but these are SEC assigned identifiers.
And as of, this is Ron, as of now, they are not in the public domain. Shelley is correct. These are SEC issued and not in the public domain as of now.
Okay, thanks. I recall from the December webinar that it was mentioned these are not publicly available. I was just wondering if there was, for example, some sort of database or repository that only industry members can access to look up LTIDs. Obviously, we're just trying to think of ways to source them, other than obviously going directly to the client. So I thought maybe there might be another option.
Nothing that we're aware of or that we would be able to facilitate.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our next question comes from caller ending in 9349. You're unmuted.
Thank you. Sorry, this is Ashish again from Reed. One quick question was, the scope of the FDIDs we need to report for case, is that just related to customer accounts or even firm accounts? Just wanted to clarify and get your thoughts.
Yeah, it would be any account that you have that has an LTID associated with it. So it's not limited to just customer accounts.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Jeremy Kahn. Jeremy, you're unmuted.
Hi, thank you. Two questions. One, just follow up to that last question. So does that mean that any client accounts that do not have LTIDs do not need to be reported during this phase?
That is correct. You can voluntarily report all of your accounts, but only those accounts with LTIDs that have a CAT reportable transaction in them starting in 2C would mandatorily have to be reported.
Okay, so even LTIDs that do not have otherwise have any trades or orders or other activity, then those don't need to be reported until such time as they have a transaction on that day.
That's right, a CAT reportable transaction, right.
Okay, good to know. Sorry, the original question I had, was specific to kind of the secondary logins that are being created for this. So does that mean that, for example, feedback files and things like that will be coming through a completely different infrastructure than the CAT trade data? And basically, therefore, firms are required to kind of manage all of this stuff twice. Is that the case?
Hi, Jeremy. This is John Allen. I can take that question. Yes, there is a separate directory structure on the SFTP side. So it is separate accounts to have access to the case SFTP and a separate directory structure, which means there's a different point from which you would need to pick up the feedback files for case. Part of the reason for separating those directory structures out is to reduce any risk of cross delivering those files, so no transaction data should go to the case system and vice versa. So by separating out that directory structure and the account structures is one of the protections in place to keep from doing so.
And this is Mark Manis, just to clarify, that's a separate SFTP server altogether. So the directory structure system there is a safety mechanism that the path doesn't exist for you to put in the transaction or customer or vice versa. So
I see. Okay. Hopefully that won't be too complicated. But I do have, you know, some initial concerns on just the logistics of being able to do that with, you know, the systems. It seems like it may be a bit of a pain to uplift that. So I'll have to talk to our technology team and get an idea of how difficult it is, but thanks.
Our next question comes from Pragnesh Kumar. You're unmuted.
Yes, one quick question. The industry member currently submitting the data for 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D, 2C, right, through the SFTP channel. So for this one, LTID will be the same channel will be used, but with the different SFTP credential, right? That is the correct understanding?
This is Mark Manis. No, there's a separate SFTP server, and the intent is to have a separate user ID that you would entitle for that machine-to-machine access to the case SFTP server. And that's just to help remove chances of mixing the customer data with the transaction data.
Okay. So basically the servers are also different here.
Correct. It's a different endpoint that you'll have to connect to.
Okay. Thanks.
Our next question comes from caller number ended in 1958. You're unmuted.
Hi, this is Danielle from BMO. I had a quick question. Based upon some of the questions raised today regarding LTIDs, are there any plans to see if the SEC can join a future call to speak to LTIDs? I know this is governed by SEC requirements, and we need to report the LTIDs as part of a case and the specifications. I just thought something like that might be helpful and beneficial to those that are working on the CAP project, being that these do need to be reported.
We can certainly take that back and explore whether that would be possible or not.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from Ronald Roberts. Ronald, you can ask your question.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, so you've answered the question about it's a different FTP server, a different FTP user ID, and different FTP directory. But can we use the same comm lines that were set up through CenturyLink that we used for reporting?
Yes, I believe that communication lines, you can reuse the same ones to get into the CAT system.
Yes, okay. That's correct.
So same lines for production.
That's correct.
Thank you very much.
Our next call question comes from user Brooke G. Go ahead and ask your question.
Only required to report customer and account information for accounts where there are CAT reportable transactions as well?
Just for this LT, yeah, right, that is correct. So if you have accounts, go ahead.
So I was going to say for phase 2E though, is the requirement that we are required to report customer and account information as long as there's a CAT reportable transaction, irrespective of the LTID. Would that be correct?
Right. The final full will be all accounts that have CAT reportable transactions.
Okay. Thank you.
And I would add that's July of 2022 is the full case spec.
Our next question comes from Stacey R. Stacey R., you can ask your question.
Conversations being had about inventory accounts. Are those types of accounts that, would they be required for the CAS reporting?
So I'm so sorry, I barely heard you, but I think your question was whether firm prop accounts or inventory accounts have to be reported to CAS. Yes. Yes, they do.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from number ended in 9349. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi, this is Ashish from ETED again. I just want a clarification based on the previous question, one question I think before. I asked a question earlier that we only need to report those accounts or FDIDs that have associated LTIDs and also have a CAT transaction, right? So we don't need to send all the FDIDs for which we have CAT transaction. Just wanted to clarify that part again.
For the LTID implementation, so CAS remember is being implemented in two phases. The first phase is LTID, and that's the limited scope of just accounts with LTIDs that have CAT reportable transactions. The full CAS implementation, like Ron was saying, in July of 2022, that is all accounts, prop, gotcha, customer that have CAT transactions at that time. So two phase approach here.
Got your point. Thank you for clarification. Mm-hmm. Thank you again.
Paul, Shelley, at this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Okay, great. Well, again, thank you everybody for your attention and your time today, as well as for the questions. If you have any additional questions, please contact the FINRA/CAT help desk. And thank you very much and have a good afternoon.